We off the grid, 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 grid. This for Slim's kids, 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 kids.
If you want to donate to my children, to stop them from being adopted,
or to stop them from being given away.
Yeah, that's the one. I almost said aborted.
Oh, no.
We don't live in Texas
You're
now.
All right, easy.
We're back.
What up? Go ahead. Tell the good people what happened.
So this dude hits me up, right?
Oh, okay.
And he's like, yo, I got tickets to a Korn concert. Yeah. And I was like, what? You don't listen to Korn. Let me take those off your hand. So I went to the Korn concert, and it was lit.
That is not what happened at all. Well, kind of. It's about half right. I did not have the Korn tickets because I would have just given them right back. But yeah, it's last week Slim's like, oh, sorry, bro. I just woke up this morning and got stained in Korn tickets. And I'm like, okay. And you know what, guys? I'm just done recording by myself, to be totally fucking honest. So I was like, fuck this shit. And I took the week off.
Man, I don't blame you. However, excuse me, Dez's cousin was supposed to go for his birthday and had a bunch of tickets. And all of a sudden, his homies dropped out, or his dad or whatever. I forget who all dropped out, but he said Dez up, and Dez asked me, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'll go see some.
You know? That's cool. We see where your priorities are, bro.
It's been a while. All right, so Stain broke up in 2019, right?
Okay.
Their singer went on to do a country album or whatever.
Okay.
They got back together this year, so this was like their first tour back, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So that's a pretty cool thing we got to see. The singer also just got done with COVID. Apparently, so you could see him, like, we had pavilion seats, so you could see him on the monitor. He never not had a lit cigarette in his hand. Mm. He's one of those old school rock stars. He's jamming out. But I guess someone said he was hitting the oxygen tank in the back because he just got off COVID.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's tough.
True rock star.
That's tough.
But it was lit.
What else you got going on?
Fantasy draft looking nice.
Let's go. I'm excited.
Looking good. About to beat Robert's little cheeks tomorrow.
Robert's about to get smacked up.
Oh, that's about to be so good.
I'm about to put... Bro, they took like 4 points away from my projections. I was like, what?
I know. My tight end keeps going from 13 to 11, so it keeps
putting
me...
That's what happens with me, too.
Keeps putting me above Robert, below Robert, above Robert, below Robert. But his stays the same.
Yeah, shit's tweaking.
Yeah, no, you're about to send Jake bags packing.
Jake's got... Jake is the only person I play 3 times this year, and I'm so happy.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Lucked out.
Yeah, super.
I think I played Dylan like 3 times.
You do. Oh. Whoever you play this week is who you play 3 times.
Oh, no, it's Robert then. I'm fine.
Yeah, not worried about that.
But yeah, I'm excited for this year. It's going to be good.
I'm excited for some football.
What about those little parlay pick things?
Oh, yeah, we got some pigskin pick'ems coming up, man. Just pick every football game, pretty much.
All right, so I didn't understand, like, the week thing. So, like, let's say I got the most right this week and I won the tiebreaker.
Okay, then you get money.
What money?
The weekly money.
Which is what? Because we were talking about we pay
$8.
Okay.
5 of it goes into a weekly.
A weekly pot. Okay.
What's 5 times 15? Fucking 75. So you get $75 if you win the week.
And then everyone's $3, including my own, goes into the year pot.
Yeah, which is like 400, I think it's like 400, 100, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. All right, now I get it. Because, yeah, everyone's saying, like, some to this, some to this, some to this. And I was like, what?
Yeah, but the Monday night game doesn't count towards your record. It's just the score.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why. Huh. That's just the rule they use.
All right. But I'm feeling good about that, too.
Yeah, we'll see, man.
Even though I was the last one to put my pick, and then Ron messaged me like, hey, don't put it in there. Just message me. And I was like, man.
I've profited every year off that shit.
Nice.
The best thing is just went in like one of the early weeks and then just being like, all right, you just keep that money. And
you can hop in and out whenever you want?
No. You're locked in for the year. But
you got to put $8 up every week?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but if you win and you got that 75, you can just be like, keep that, Ron, and just keep
okay. So just dish me out. Yeah. I got you. Nice.
But yeah, I'm excited for that, man. Got my training camp winding down here.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's kind of ramping up.
It's like, yeah, I mean,
2 more tough weeks coming, and then, yeah, man, it's fight
time. You
can
put the hammer down.
Yeah, right, I've already just envisioned so many scenarios in my head. I just keep replaying, like, fight after fight after fight in my head, and, like, what could possibly happen. Like, I understand now. In about a week, I'm about to go into like a.
So how many? How many kids are you about to have to face?
Like possibly like four. I think I get two guaranteed matches.
What about breaks in between?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think you could either get like a nice little break, or it might be like, all right, you're up again.
Because like when we wrestled, like back in middle school, it was like you had like an I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes in between matches.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you had to like chill and like have a little snack or something.
See, I'm used to going
back to back to back.
Yeah, like 1 minute in between rounds. So yeah. If I even get a little break, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
My cardio is on point. So yeah, I'm excited for that, man. I'm about to go into a little dark, deep, dark place here soon.
I'm dark, about
to,
my dear.
About to drag somebody dark, there
dark,
with me.
Dark, nice. The madness opens up.
I just rise out of that bitch. I got the Undertaker eyes.
Like, is that Cthulhu? No, it's Mandy.
You guys already know the vibes. You guys are like, yeah!
Take his soul!
Or what is it? What is like, the Call of Duty zombie ones?
Oh,
fetch me their souls! Everyone's looking at us like, yo, are they accessories to murder?
They might be. They might be.
Risk I'm willing to take.
Don't test them.
Don't test me. I'll send my boy after you. He'll take your soul. All right. So the card that we did not cover last week, though, was Giga Chikadze and Edson Barboza. And we have a new star at featherweight.
I don't know if he's a new star, budding star, though, for
dude,
sure.
He like, picked Edson apart.
Yeah, didn't see that one coming, man.
Just brutalized him. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting like a drawn-out war. And, yeah, I mean, Chikadze, we fought back against his claims about being the best kickboxer in the UFC. But I don't know, man. I think we need to stop arguing against the guy.
Yeah, he fought probably the second best.
He was the best. Izzy's probably the best.
Yeah, you're right.
But at featherweight, yeah, I got what you're saying.
And I won money.
Yeah, yeah. You came up a nice 200 piece off Gerald Meerschaert's submission.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Beautiful.
It's funny. I went to work and I was telling everyone, and they're like, what were the odds? And it was like plus 1,000. They're like, well, why didn't you bet more? And it's like, yeah, it's easy to think that now.
Yeah.
But like, that was an unlikely thing to happen.
Right.
So why would I go, I'm betting my whole paycheck on it. And they're like, no, I can't do that.
Right.
No, I wish I had the funds to do that.
You got to bet smart, man.
Right.
You got to bet in increments.
I'll take my little profit.
Yeah,
I already lost half of it last week.
I profited that week as well, and then I came back last week and shit my pants.
Yeah, we didn't do too good.
I bet $150. I only brought back in 20.
Mm.
I shit all over the bed, bro, and laid in it. Rolled around.
New sheets all around.
Yeah.
I mean, the only ones that really did crazy good were the Brits, for real. Not including Darren Till.
Oh, wait. We're switching to this?
No, I was just saying. On this, we're talking with the bets.
Oh, yeah. No, I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I needed... dude, I was so close on so many. If Patty Pimblett would have won by submission, I would have brought in a clean 300 piece.
Who would have thought? Knock out on your debut.
Knocked him out.
I didn't expect that at all.
Not from Patty.
No. I know he had hands like that for real.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that one. But first, let's get into some MMA news. It's MMA news.
I'm not MMA dragging it out news.
It's MMA news. Did you really think my tweet about Yanni the Greek being able to bite through a phone book was funny?
I did. And they were like, well, one day I'll do enough cocaine. And I was like, what is doing cocaine have to do with buying teeth?
Because Yanni the Greek does a shit ton of Las Vegas cocaine.
Yeah, he gets on there like,
Las Vegas strip cocaine.
Well, the underdog is
Yeah, that's where I was getting at that.
Teeth gritting. He probably chewed through his old pair.
Right.
He's on his seventh veneer set.
Right.
All right, little sad news. Jermaine DeRandamy is out of her fight with Irene Aldana with an injury.
Sad. I was looking forward to that one. That was going to be
268.
Such a great little start to the card.
Yeah. Bruce Leroy is fighting Sungwoo Choi.
Fire.
And that's really good.
That's fire.
This one's good, too. Anthony Hernandez and Fluffy. Dustin Stoltzfus. Yeah. I like that. Another injury. Diego Ferreira is out of his fight with Grant Dawson.
Good for him. Good decision by Diego Fajea.
Damn.
No, I'm just kidding.
This one is, I don't know what I think about it. Jordan Williams is fighting Ian Garry. I believe he's the one that got knocked out by Bazooka. What's his name?
That is not the guy that got knocked out. That's Ian Garry, bro. Like the Cage Warriors dude coming in, undefeated.
Oh. He looked like him. My bad.
I saw a picture of him. It had to have been like 6-7 years ago with Conor McGregor, bro. And he looks like a little twerp, dude. It's crazy. And now he's just such a savage.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Ian Garry, UFC debut, Madison Square Garden, undefeated prospect. One of the most hyped prospects coming in since probably Patty the Batty.
Ooh. R.I.P. Jordan Williams.
Oh, man. It's going to be fun.
That is a good one. Let's see what else I got here. Andre Muniz and Jordicus Duplicis.
Let's go, bro. That's two really hyped up-and-comers right there. I'm super excited about that one.
Guy we're going to talk about in a little bit. Contender Series winner Azmat Mirzakhanov is fighting Marcin Prochniak already on November 20th.
Yeah, I mean, he went out there and cleaned house pretty quick, so not surprised. And that's a good match for him. That is an ideal first fight for Mirzakhanov.
Love it. What else we got here? Mallory Martin and Monsterette.
No! No!
That one's going to be good, though.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one.
Ike Villanueva and Nicolay Nagumareno. Yep, that's the one.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Jimmy Crute and Jamal Hill.
Fire. Heat. Gasoline, that's on a pay-per-view, yeah?
December 4th, whatever. That might be that.
They don't know what that is yet.
That might be that Poirier and Oliveira card.
Let's go.
I hope it is.
Let's go.
Need that. Rafa Garcia and Nathan Levy.
Nice, okay. I didn't even see that. Nice.
Let's see. What else do I got there? Who's that? I don't even know. Randy Costa and Tony Kelly. That's some heat.
That'll be a fun one. Two strikers. Yeah. Tony Kelly might want to take that to the ground, though.
I could see it. Shane Burgos and Billy Quarantillo.
Wowzers.
That's nuts.
Fight of the night alert.
That's nuts. Big opportunity for Billy to step in way up in the rankings. Andreas Michaelides and Alex Pereira making his UFC debut, UFC 268 on November 6th. He's still got to do a glory fight before this.
I got to admit, I'm rooting for Alex Pereira to just go on a tear so I can see him
and Izzy rematch.
Need it.
Come on. What weight is so he bad. Fighting? Is he at middleweight?
I believe so.
I thought he moved up a little bit.
He might be at. No, that's because I'm pretty sure Michaelides is a.
He's in middleweight?
Or maybe that's light heavyweight, actually.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that might be light heavyweight.
Okay.
But still.
Yeah, I mean, Izzy fought at all weights, so that could have been where it took place the first time. Eric Anders and Roman Dolidze?
That'll be interesting to see if Dolidze can get Eric Anders down to the ground.
This one shocked me when I saw it. Michael Chiesa and Sean Brady. That's crazy.
When's that? They don't got it yet?
November 20th.
Let's fucking go.
That one's so good. So good. Caitlin Vieira and Misha Tate.
I believe we talked about that.
Do we? Okay. That's a good one, though, either way. This is the first time I've ever hoped for an injury. Because I honestly don't. I want to see this fight go down, but I don't want either guy to lose. It's Brad Riddell fighting Rafael Fiziev.
This was supposed to happen before, right?
I don't think so.
And it got canceled.
I don't know.
I believe this fight was supposed to happen before and it got canceled.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Both 10-1.
Yeah.
Two of my favorite lightweights.
It's going to be a striking clinic.
That's on December 4th as well.
City Kickboxing versus Tiger Muay Thai.
Yeah. Sean Woodson and Colin Anglin.
They are throwing Colin Anglin to the wolves, bro.
Demir Ismagulov and Magomed Mustafayev.
Okay.
It's a good one.
We'll see if Ismagulov can pull that one off, man. If he can get over Mustafayev. I mean, shit, Mustafayev beat Fiziev.
Yeah. Like. Felicia Spencer's fighting Leah Letson.
Leah Letson back into the UFC. Nice. Yeah, yeah. Have we seen her? I think she had a couple fights after the Ultimate Fighter. And
yeah.
Yeah, good to see her back.
Macy Barber and Montana De La Rosa.
That'll be a fun matchup, man. That's a good matchup.
I like it.
I feel like Montana De La Rosa is going to be the live underdog in that one.
For sure. I think that might be all I got. So, apparently, Jorge Masvidal came out about his next fight. He wants Nick.
It makes sense.
I like it. If Nick can look good against Robbie Lawler, why not?
Yeah. We'll have to see, though. We'll have to see.
I'm down to see it.
But I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So Brunson calling for his title shot. We'll get into how he dismantled Darren Till, but what do you think about it? Do you think he needs another one? Or is the field open for Izzy? Because Whitaker's kind of crickets right now.
I'd rather talk about it.
Fair enough.
After we talk about the fight.
Well, we have a reoccurring segment before we get into that fight. Something that's been gone for about a year now.
Let's go.
It's Mondy's Contender Corner.
It's back, you mudda suckas. But yeah, man, so far so good in the Contender Series. No?
Yeah, no? And we're like
2 weeks in.
No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 contracts and 9 fights. Never been done.
10 contracts in 2 weeks.
And only 9 fights.
Two times in a row they've tied the record for most contracts handed out. And then last week, not this week, but last week's episode, we actually had a guy that lost that got a contract. So a lot of wild stuff been happening
so far. The winner and the loser.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get on into the first one. So this was last week's card. There was only 4 fights. I forget who dropped off at the last minute. But nonetheless, we had, starting in the welterweight division, AJ Fletcher taking on the Italian Leonardo Damiani. AJ Fletcher, training partner of Dustin Poirier. And this guy is going to be a problem.
It was a heavyweight bout that dropped off. Lorenzo Hood against Dylan Potter. Lucas Brzezinski against Dylan Potter.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
But this guy.
But AJ Fletcher, man, goes out there, looks really crisp the first couple minutes, and then just throws a flying knee right up the middle. Didn't really set it up too much or anything like that. Just kind of threw it right up the middle. Landed clean. Put Damiani down. Followed up with some punches, man, and they were kind of unneeded because he was out.
We know how Dana feels about flying knees.
It was absolutely beautiful, man. This kid, 9-0 now, AJ Fletcher, getting a contract, and I'm so excited. He's another one I think might get the Mirzakhanov treatment and get another fight here really, really soon, because went pretty much untouched in there, and then putting on a performance like that, man, hell of a fight. Really excited to see the future for AJ Fletcher. I think he's going to be another one of those big names emerging out of the Contender Series. All right. So he gets a contract. First one of the season handed out. You knew it was coming. But these next couple, I didn't see these ones coming at all. So starting in the moving to the flyweight division, we had a matchup between Carlos Condelario coming in with an 8-0 record, taking on Victor Altamirano, who came in with a 9-1 record. Altamirano, before he was in the UFC, was a champion with LFA. Really exciting fighter, man. Beat Nate Smith, who we remember from Contender Series, I believe, last year. But anyways, Altamirano and Condelario, pretty good back-and-forth fight. Condelario definitely had the edge in the grappling, and I thought that's what got it, or got him the win. I thought he won the first 2 rounds, and Altamirano did take the third, but the judges saw it different, man. The judges ended up giving the fight to Altamirano via split decision. You know, it was a close fight, so I can see it, but I thought it was pretty clearly in favor of Candelario, and I think that was the deciding factor for Dana. I think he also thought Candelario won the fight, and I think he just saw 2 exciting high-level prospects here in the flyweight division, which flyweight always need flyweights, I feel like, in the UFC. So yeah, 2 contracts handed out here. Victor Altamirano, the winner from Mexico, gets a contract, and Carlos Candelario, the first fighter in Contender Series history to get a contract off of a loss.
Wild.
Just shows goes to show...
we're breaking records.
Yeah. Are we, I feel like we're about to be getting lots of UFC cuts.
That's what I'm saying. Roster cuts,
I
baby.
Think Dana's about to be saying bye-bye to a lot of people.
If you're 38 or over, see you later.
Pretty much.
Core McGee, your days are numbered. I don't know why I chose him randomly.
Right, don't call out the crusher.
John Dodson, you're done.
John Dodson is like with one championship now or something. Isn't he? I think that's where he's at.
Yeah, probably.
All right. So yeah, two contracts handed out there. So that makes it three on the night. Will we make it four? Of course. We already spoiled it for you guys. We're moving to the featherweight division. One of the weirdest fights you'll see in the Contender Series. It was Joe Anderson Brito taking on Diego Lopez, two Brazilian fighters. Brito coming in with a 12-1 record. Lopez coming in with a record of 19-3. And you know what? I mean, Joe Anderson Brito, man. They talked about his gas tank, and he came out there, and despite, you know, the doubts on his gas tank, was just throwing everything he had. And he looked good throughout all three rounds. I did... I think Lopez was, you know, keeping it close. And then in the third round, Brito was definitely starting to get the better of Lopez. I ended up poking him in his eye kind of like halfway through the round. And at that point, they called it a technical decision. So they didn't have to finish the fight. It's pretty rare you see those. But we got one here. I wasn't expecting to see a contract off something like that. But,
no.
Hey, that just goes to show how willing Dana is to hand out the contracts this year. I don't think it's any longer like you need to go out there and get a stoppage like in the first round.
But I kind of miss when it was.
No, I agree.
But like, imagine if like Austin Vanderfort and Brandon Loughnane were fighting now. They would probably be getting contracts.
Facts. 100%. Without a doubt.
But here we are.
Right.
With guys winning fights off eye pokes and getting contracts.
Wild. So Joe Anderson Brito improves his record to 12-2. Diego Lopez falls to 19-4, and Joe Anderson Brito gets the fourth contract on the year. Definitely an exciting fighter at featherweight, though. I'm sure we're gonna see him start racking up some highlight reel wins very soon because he's a tough customer. All right, but the shining moment of the night came from Azamat Mirzakhanov as he took on Matthias Scheffel. Mirzakhanov undefeated, 9-0 coming into the fight. Scheffel was 14-6 coming in, and Mirzakhanov, man, just came in so light on his feet, man. I mean, Tom Aspinall, big man, light on his feet, moving really, really well, and then gets into an exchange with Scheffel and kind of throws this like shuffle to my left type right hook, and just put Scheffel out. Almost cold, bro. I mean, put in some follow-up punches that were just devastating. Man, I mean, this Mirzakhanov guy, his striking, and then he's got the Sambo background, so if he gets you in the clinch, he can toss you around too. This guy is going to be rising up in the light heavyweight division very, very soon. And like I said, or me and Slim told you, already has a fight against Marcin Prochniow, which I think is a great matchup for him. I think he's going to go out there and get a knockout win in that one. Mirzakhanov, really promising prospect here out of the Contender Series. Definitely top three best I've seen so far of everybody, all the contract winners. So, Azamat Mirzakhanov defeats Matthias Scheffel via knockout with a right hook and ground strikes 3 minutes into the first round. He's now 10-0. Scheffel falls to 14-7. So, we got a new light heavyweight prospect, Azamat Mirzakhanov. We got a new featherweight prospect, Joe Anderson Brito. Two new flyweight prospects with Victor Altamirano and Carlos Candelario. And then a new welterweight fighter with AJ Fletcher. So
you think they run Victor and Carlos back right away in the UFC?
They could, but I don't think they do.
Nice.
But if they did, that would be fire, honestly, so... All right, that was week one. Let's go ahead and run down week two for you guys here real quick. Another exciting week, as you can tell.
This was just yesterday.
Yeah, this was just yesterday. Awesome card, man, from top to bottom. So starting with the first fight of the night, in the 135-pound bantamweight division, we had Muin Gafarov fighting out of Tajikistan, taking on Chad Anhelinger, who is Canadian. Anhelinger was the plus 375 favorite when I saw him close. So that means Gafarov was something, or I'm sorry, underdog. Gafarov was something like the minus 400. I think he was that 525 favorite when I saw him.
Oh, God.
And Anhelinger, man, just goes out there. The first round, Gafarov was able to use some of his grappling, but he got clipped. It was either the first or second round. I know it was just yesterday, but I can't remember. But yeah, Anhelinger caught him and actually dropped him. I think it was in the second round. And from that point on, the tides just kind of turned in favor of Anhelinger. He was able to just start tagging Gafarov on the feet. And Gafarov, you know, he had his moment standing up too, but his gas tank really started to wear out, and Anhelinger looked fresh, ready to go.
Yeah, and he had pretty good top control as well.
Right, when he was able to get on top, he did a great job as well.
Even though Gafarov had more top control in the fight.
For sure,
Anhelinger looked like he was a little bit more busy.
Yeah, and just a great performance, man. Now, I was not expecting a contract out of this one, but Dana said, hey, biggest underdog on the card. I liked how he called out Cormier. That shit was funny. Did you hear that?
He's like, well, Cormier don't know what he's talking about. Cormier's probably in his seat just like,
damn,
cracking up.
Yeah. But yeah, Chad Anhelinger, man. Biggest underdog on the card. Huge underdog at plus 375. Gets the win. Really impressive stuff here by this guy. I think he's going to be a good bantamweight ad, man. He just seems like a well-rounded prospect. And he... At one point, his record was 2-5, and he hasn't lost since.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he was 2-5, man.
Wow.
And then his last time out before this, he beat Brady Highstand. Mm. So he's beating some legit guys, too. He's on a tear right now.
He's 34 now, too. He's getting better with age.
Right. Chad Anhelinger, the Canadian, improves his record to 11-5. He defeats Muin Gafarov, who is now 17-4. Via split decision, two judges had it 29-28 for Anhelinger. One judge had it 29-28 for Gafarov. I did think it was Anhelinger, though. I agreed with the judges, and I'm excited to see him get added to this bantamweight division.
I agree.
Anhelinger versus O'Malley.
Well.
all right, let's go ahead and get into, I don't know, maybe the most impressive performance of the night. It was CJ Vergara taking on Bruno Correa. So I was really high on Bruno Correa coming into this one. He had a 12-3-1 record. The Brazilian, CJ Vergara, the flyweight champion for Fury FC, coming in with a record of 8-2.
Yeah, Bruno, I guess, had beaten a few contenders outside of the UFC.
Yeah.
Or not contenders, but like former UFC fighters. And was actually the favorite in this one as well.
Right. And Vergara goes out there, gets in a couple clinch situations, and lands some huge knees. And then kind of had Correa, he was landing them towards the head, though. A couple hit the body, but he had, Correa worried about the knees to the head. And as soon as, Vergara kind of let go of the clinch, Correa started turning to the side a little bit, and Vergara just landed a clean knee right to the liver and just shut Correa down. It was unbelievable, man. It was so
perfectly placed shot.
And I mean, he landed so many knees in that 41 seconds. Like,
yeah,
this guy has a high pace.
And Vergara was just talking all that shit afterwards.
And then an awesome moment,
like, flyweights, I'm coming for you.
An awesome moment with him and his son on the phone after.
Yeah. Which they never show shit like that,
right?
Like, that was pretty rare. So they already knew, like, all right, this dude's going to the UFC. Like, he's a personality we gotta keep people's eyes on. Early.
Yeah, he definitely feels like somebody they're going to be trying to pitch early. Also, I wouldn't mind seeing Vergara versus one of the flyweights that fought last week.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, CJ Vergara defeats Bruno Correa via knockout due to a knee to the body 41 seconds into the first round. CJ Vergara, now 9-2 overall. Bruno Correa falls to 12-4-1. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next fight, which also took place in the bantamweight division we had.
Simone Oliveira and Jose Aldo.
So this was another one that was really close. Two strikers, for the most part. We did see some good amount of grappling in this one, but for the most part, Oliveira, a Thai kickboxer, Aldo likes using his boxing. And yeah, it was just a close one from start to finish. I personally had it 29-28 for Oliveira. I was kind of surprised that a judge did give it to Aldo, but it was close. I'm pretty sure
it was Adelaide Bird.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
Yes. Because someone tweeted it like, oh, my God, was that Adelaide Bird?
That's funny. But, yeah, Saibon Oliveira. Exciting, dude, man. Throw for being 135 for being 135 pounds, Saibon Oliveira has some serious pop in his hands. Very quick, very skilled all around. So I think we're gonna see him get a pretty big opponent to start his UFC career. Nonetheless, it was a close fight. I'm sure that's not the last we'll see of Jose Aldo. The judges had it, or I'm sorry, Saibon Oliveira defeats Jose Aldo, via unanimous, or I'm sorry, via split decision, 29-28, 29-28 for Saibon Oliveira. One judge did have it 29-28 for Aldo. So Oliveira is now 18-3. Jose Aldo is 14-6-1. And Saibon Oliveira, third contract of the night, handed out. Another one that really surprised me, man. Split decision win. You typically wouldn't see them get a contract, but season five shit.
Right.
No shit.
No shit.
All right. Time for the co-main event here. And I'm telling you guys, we're going to see this guy possibly crack the rankings pretty quick because I think he's going to get a fight.
Absolutely.
Soon.
Chidi Njokuani taking on Mario Sousa.
And yes, that's Anthony Njokuani's brother.
I didn't know Anthony Njokuani's 40 now.
Crazy. And yet, I mean, Chitty, you guys, I'm sure you remember him from his days in Bellator. So he's been around the block with a lot of big promotions. I think this is something we'll see a lot more in the Contender Series with experienced guys like this, you know, coming in. Just like we saw Gafarov come in with a record of 17-3. We just saw Saibon Oliveira come in with 20 career fights. Like, I think this is something we're going to start seeing a lot more. We're still going to have those prospects with the, you know, fresh records, but
he went 5-3 in Bellator, and his losses were to Andrei Korshkov, Rafael Carvalho, and John Salter.
Yeah, he's fought quality opponents, man.
He beat Melvin Gallard. Max Griffin back in 2015.
Ricky Rainey.
Yeah. Lost to Jeremy Kimball. He beat Alan Joban in 2011.
I think that was Alan Joban's, like, yeah, it was second fight.
That's nuts. Anyway.
But yeah, this was a great fight, man. Sosa, really powerful, long striker for the 185-pound division, but Chidi Njokuani, man, just weathered the storm, stayed calm, and from start to finish, man, he just looked clean. His striking was super clean, was never really in any trouble throughout the entire fight against a guy who's so dangerous, which, I mean, that just shows the skill level of Chidi Njokuani. That's why I think right away, you know, they're not going to give him a couple fights until he goes to the Wolves. I think he's going straight to him.
Yeah, when you come in the Contender Series and you got almost 30 fights, I mean,
you got to be ready to go. So,
right.
And I think he is. I think Chidi Njokuani's got the skill set.
Yeah, he ate a lot of leg kicks, so he might need some time off for that. But
bro, why is his voice so deep? That shit was scary. That shit was freaking me out.
I think he's Nigerian.
He is, but I mean, he's American, but yeah, he's with Nigerian descent. Anyways, Chidi Njokuani defeats Mario Sousa via TKO due to ground and pound. 1 minute and 35 seconds into the third round.
Wasn't that a failed takedown attempt by Sousa, too?
Did he capitalize on? So, yeah. Chidi Njokuani now 20-7 overall, while Mario Sousa falls to 12-2. All right, let's go ahead and move on to this main event of the evening. It was a quick one.
Ooh, buddy. Josh Quinlan taking on Logan Urban, Ohio
alumni.
Yeah,
he only lives an hour away from us.
So I'm really excited about this new prospect we're getting here at 170 pounds. Josh Quinlan, man, went out there, looked pretty patient at first, and then just started letting those hands go, and sheesh, turned my man Logan Urban's legs into fish sticks.
Yeah, that was all bad. And then just jumped on him.
Just laid it on him.
Nasty.
Just landed some clean punches. I mean, this dude, bro.
That's a bad man.
His striking, clean. And from amateur until pro, this guy's never lost a fight.
No.
And most of them are by knockout. I think only one time in his amateur career he won by decision. Every other time, stoppage.
Yep. Latest he's ever been is the third round.
Savage.
2 minutes in.
Dude's a savage. Absolute killer. I think this dude, now this is a guy coming in with a now 6-0 record. They're going to ease him into it.
Pepper him up a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to ease him into it. They're going to give him a couple tune-up fights before they start giving him anybody serious.
I mean, I could see him thrown there and get someone like Max Griffin.
That happened to Ramiz Brahimi. Look what happened. He punched his ear off. I don't.
What happened. He lost an ear. He lost a limb almost.
That's just like not your ideal first UFC fight.
Of course not, but I mean, you know, when you look that good and you've never been to decision.
No, I think they're going to do something like they did with Mirzakhanov and be like, okay, this guy really fits your style well. Like,
so. Just don't give him a wrestler.
Right.
I don't know if he can't wrestle, but I don't want to see him even try.
Just want to see him throw hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Quinlan, man, really impressive performance. Defeats Logan Urban via knockout 47 seconds into the first round. Josh Quinlan improves his record to 6-0, while Logan Urban falls to 5-2. And that was your contender corner. 10 contracts handed out.
10 of them things.
I'm really excited to see all these guys in the UFC, too.
All right, if you're looking through this list right now, who do you think is a matchup for him?
For Quinlan?
Yeah.
Okay. Who the fuck is Olaf Alfonso? Who the fuck is that guy?
Why is Ben Askren still on here?
Why does that guy have the same nickname as Chimaev? You wish.
Oh, you thought, buddy.
Who are these guys?
Oh, Bam Bam? That would be a good one.
Who are these guys? No, that wouldn't. The dude's 6-0, bro.
Well.
Like, who is Kalen Born? Who are these guys?
Yeah, maybe they don't delete these people. I don't know. I try to just look at current, like, you know.
Who is Ansar Chalangov? Oh,
Luis Cosi.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad one. Nathan Coy? Like, what?
I don't know.
Did Damiani make it? Why do they got him in there? He just got his shit knocked out.
I don't know.
AJ Fletcher's in there. Drew Fickett, bro.
That's old.
There's no way. There's Ian Gary. The future.
Akori Gono.
Bro, what is this website?
This is UFC. Can I filter it by, like, current fighter? Oh, active. Yeah, active for one. All right, that's a little better. Okay.
Who is Kalen Born?
I don't know. Damn, they had the old school fighters on here. Jake Ellenberger still? No, he retired. Oh, Lyman Good would be nuts.
Mickey Gall?
Yeah, they could for sure do that.
I wouldn't even mind seeing like Carlston Harris.
Yeah.
I know Carlston has 20 fights, but.
Anthony Ivey be a good one too?
Who's John Hathaway, bro? They got creative fighters in here.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people in welterweight have really good records. Oh, Munir Lazeez, that'd be fire.
I don't know. They might have to just give him a guy who ain't even in the UFC right now.
Damn. You think they're gonna Bellator him up?
I don't know. He's just 6-0, dude.
Hey, what do you say? I don't know, man. There's, as Dana says, there's no easy fights in the UFC.
Dana's a blackjack addict.
Jesus. It's a way to say that to our future boss.
All right. Well, we did have a card that happened this previous weekend. Slim.
Indeed. It was UFC Fight Night, Brunson versus Till. I laughed. I cried.
Like I said, me and Slim did fucking garbage town USA on this shit.
I mean,
betting wise.
Yeah.
I mean, our picks weren't the best either.
I didn't do too bad.
I said something like I wanted to be like over 70% this year or something like that. What a fucking joke that was.
Oh, God, where you at?
Not 70%. That's for damn sure. Probably like somewhere in like the low 60s, high 50s.
Damn. Yeah, I don't think I did too bad on this card. I only got one.
I took you up top, sir.
Two. Three. You only got four wrong.
And two of those were against me.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take it from the bottom. Very first side of the night, we had Daucha Lung Giambola taking on Mark Andre Barrial.
Our first disagreement of the night.
Yeah. This might be the end of Daucha here.
Damn.
I truly thought that he was going to be way more active and way more explosive. Maybe that weight cut's a little too much for him because he looked jacked, ripped out of his body. His skin looked like it could break if you poked it too hard. And Mark, honestly, just kept with the motions. He kept throwing good combinations. He mixed his shots up pretty well. Attacked the legs a lot. 14 shots to the leg, 24 to the body, 80 to the head. And Daucha was pretty much headhunting. And he got a couple takedowns, but Mark got back to his feet pretty quick.
Really
so
quick, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the Marc-Andre Barrial show here.
Yeah, I honestly expected Marc-Andre Barrial to be able to use volume with his boxing, which was pretty much exactly what he did in this one. I was hoping he would stop the takedown a little bit more than he did. He did get taken down twice, but nonetheless, it was overall a good fight for him. He fought a great fight.
Definitely.
And I thought it was pretty clear he won this one. So Marc-Andre Barrial defeats Daucha Lung Giambola via unanimous decision. One judge had it 30-27. Two judges had it 29-28.
Yeah, Daucha needs to go back to light heavyweight.
Marc-Andre Barrial improves his record now to 13-4, while Daucha Lung Giambola falls to 11-3. I will get their UFC records pulled up in a second, but yeah, let's go ahead and move on to the next one.
Next, we have Juliana Rosa taking on Charles Air Jourdain. And I didn't see this coming.
Not at all. This this one lost me and you a lot of money.
Bro, Juicy J, bro. I swear, every time I don't pick him, he fucking wins. And every time I pick him, he gets knocked out.
When do we pick him? I don't think I've ever picked Julian Rose.
I picked him like the last time he fought. And he got knocked out like first round.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Like, what? And then I picked against him with the Sean Woodson fight. And then he unbeaten Sean Woodson. It's like, I cannot pick this guy right. Some days he's on, and some days he's just a punching bag. I don't understand. In this fight, though, he landed a couple takedowns of his own. Strike count, super even. 106 to 103 total strikes. And it was actually Charles Jourdain mixing it up better. He had 14 to the leg, 21 to the body, and 50 to the head. Julian splitting his time between the body and the head mostly. Yeah, I don't know, man. Julian constantly getting him in the clinch and stopping Jourdain from getting combos together. Got him the dub.
It was just so wild how quick he locked in that darts choke.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that coming. Like,
no.
Especially Charles Jourdain. Like, that's wild how quick.
Isn't Julian that what he got Sean in. Woodson in too?
Yeah. Standing just how he did too.
God damn.
That's his signature for sure. Nonetheless, Julian Arosa defeats Charles Jourdain via submission due to a darts choke 2 minutes and 56 seconds into the third round. Julian Arosa improves his overall record now to 25-9. His UFC record is now 4-5. He's 3-1 since he returned to the UFC for his third stint. Third time's a charm.
Yep.
Arosa has now earned 22 of his 25 career victories by way of stoppage. Charles Jourdain, now 11-4-1 overall, 2-3-1 in the UFC, and that was the first stoppage loss of his career with that submission.
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of people didn't see that one coming, man.
You want to say Dalcha and Mark's UFC?
Dalcha's UFC record is 2-2. Marc-Andre Barriol improved his record to 2-3 with one no contest. So it should be 3-3, but
nice.
Lost his first three, won his next three, except one got overturned.
Nice. All right. Moving on to the next one here. We got Jack Short taking on Ludovic Show.
Come on. You heard it all year on The Ultimate Fighter.
Sholinian.
Okay, good job.
I forgot he was on The Ultimate Fighter for some reason. Yeah.
He fought Ricky, bro.
I know. But super ridiculous test for Ludovic's first fight in the UFC.
Yeah, they fucked my had my man fucked.
I mean, undefeated 14-0 Jack Shore put a clinic on my man Ludovic.
Like Jack Shore is just so good, bro.
Yeah, he was
like
not.
Literally everywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere the fight goes,
Jack Shore is the true Welsh like prospect right now.
I think Jack Shore has a good argument for taking an A and Amy home for best prospect.
Is he still a prospect? Is he like
he ain't ranked
4-0 in the UFC?
He ain't ranked.
I mean, no, but isn't he 4-0 in the UFC?
I feel like you got to be not ranked to be considered a prospect.
Yeah, but he's been in the UFC for a couple years now. Right? Am I tripping on that? Oh, these fucking ads. They get to me every time.
A and Amy's coming up.
Yeah. 3-4 months. let's see. He made his UFC debut in 2019. I mean, he's got two dubs this year. I guess. I mean, you know.
I think we usually do it by. It's your first year in the UFC, so.
Yeah. Somebody, he might be snubbed for that one. But nonetheless, Jack Shore, very impressive.
Yeah. Just an outstanding performance. Like, my goodness. And shout out to Ludovic Sholinian for stepping in, I believe, on short notice for this fight. So. Jack Shore defeats Ludovic Sholinian via unanimous decision. All three judges had it 30-27 across the board. Jack Shore, now a perfect 15-0. 4-0 in the UFC. Get this stat here, Slim. Jack Shore's four-fight UFC winning streak at bantamweight is tied for the fourth longest active streak in the division behind Aljamain Sterling's 6, Mirab Dvalishvili's 5, and TJ Dillashaw's 5.
Wow.
Talk about rising up quick.
That's pretty crazy.
Only four fights, already has a fourth longest streak in the division.
Wild.
Nuts. Ludovic Sholinian, now 9-2-1 overall, 0-1 in the UFC. Both of his career losses have came by way of decision. So I start the night 2-1. Slim is a measly 1-2. We move on to the next one.
We had Meatball Molly McCann taking on Ji Young Kim. Meatball doing them meatball things.
This was a fun fight, dude.
It was.
This was an awesome fight.
Yeah, Molly really had to show, like, straight-up heart in this one.
Yeah.
She was walking into a lot of Ji Young Kim shots, and it was the takedowns that ultimately got her the dub, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, you know, that's... We thought when Molly first came in, she was a grappler.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, okay, no, she's a striker.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes out, has a good striking performance here, and her grappling was the edge. So maybe she's starting to really put it all together.
I hope so, because I really like her.
Yeah, Molly is fun to watch, that's for sure. You got to love watching her talk her shit. So Molly Meatball McCann defeats Ji Young Kim via unanimous decision. All three judges had it 29-28 across the board. Molly McCann now 11-4 overall. Her UFC record is now 4-3, and all four of her UFC victories have came by way of decision. Ji Young Kim, now 9-4-2 overall, 3-4 in the UFC. She's 3-3 since she went down to that flyweight division, and she suffered all four of her career losses by way of decision. So that was your preliminary card. We now move on to the main card.
Yeah, and speaking of English fighters, from one cage warrior fighter to another, we had Patty the Batty Pimblett taking on Luigi Vendramini. And Patty was...
We told you guys, huh?
Yeah, and Patty was dismissing Luigi all week.
Yeah.
In the build-up to this. But he got rocked.
He ate it. He ate it up. He
stumbled a little bit.
He took it. He took one.
He took one.
Yeah.
Right in the chops. But sure enough, Patty thought he was going to use at least some wrestling in this. Didn't really have a chance to. Thought it was grappling was going to come through, as we said, on our bets. No. He gave Luigi the hands.
He's a scouser.
Yeah, he landed a clean right hook, I think, like two in a row.
No, it was like just a flurry of punches. It was two in a row.
Like two to start it off and then just rushed him.
And then just landed a final one that was just devastating.
Put Luigi down. And yeah, that lost us some money.
Yeah, we needed to buy some.
But nonetheless, I was going hype because I was like, oh, shit. I did not expect Patty to come in and get a knockout in his debut.
Yeah, dude. And just automatically all the so many clips of this, dude.
Yeah.
So many clips.
Every single fucking
account.
MMA, anything was posting Patty.
Yeah.
It was all Patty. It was his post-fight interview. It was a picture of him going like this.
Him with the dance.
Yeah, everything. And Molly McCann actually ran out to the cage to congratulate her buddy.
Her teammate, yeah.
That shit was hard. That was dope to see. Patty, man, with a great post-fight speech, too. Just saying he'll take on anyone. Watch out. He's here. I love it. That's how you make a fucking UFC debut.
Do you think Patty Pimblett does have the potential to become the man in the UFC?
The man?
The cash cow.
No.
Because right now, who do you think it is? I think it's probably like Izzy. Or it's like
Conor and Jorge.
Well, I'm not counting Conor.
All right.
Well, Conor doesn't fight that
Jorge
much.
Jorge and maybe Izzy second.
But what does Jorge even do anymore?
Doesn't matter. He sells fights.
When he fights?
Yeah.
And can you really say... I was watching the fight more for Usman.
I mean, same, because I thought he was going to win, but we all know Jorge
had a
chance.
It's the matchups he's been getting. Imagine if Jorge fights, like, somebody else.
That's what I'm saying.
Some, like, random...
If he fights Nick Diaz, like...
No, if he fights some random doo-doo ball, people aren't going to really watch it like that.
I think they will. I think he's got selling power. I think the BMF belt proved that.
We'd BMF have to see title. If he was a...
Anyway, do I think Patty could be the cash cow? Not at the moment. Maybe. He's got to work on that striking...
I'm talking about potential.
He's got to work on that striking defense.
Oh, yeah.
First and foremost.
But he ate that shit.
Yeah, but I've seen some of his Cage Warriors fights, too. They're on UFC Fight Pass. You can go back and watch.
Leaves that chin up in the air when he's coming in.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, if he can iron that out, his ground game is solid. He's a quick back ticker. So, if he can figure that, the striking part of it out, sky's the limit for him. Can he be a champion? Well, I don't know. He's still pretty young. He's, what, 26 now?
Already has 20 career fights, though.
Nuts. So the sky's the limit for him. But, yeah, no, he's just got some things to iron out, and, yeah, I think he can make a run.
I do think Patty has the potential to become the man in the UFC.
I think he's going to be the UK man.
I don't know. I'm talking about Mr. Worldwide.
He's already got more Instagram followers than
That's like saying, oh, I think, well, Izzy's like Australia.
No, he's New Zealand. But
what
Patty...
What continent is New Zealand on?
Okay, Australia. But Patty already has more Instagram followers than Leon Edwards. People don't care about Leon in London.
Yeah.
They care about Patty the Batty. So he's on his way.
I don't know. I think Patty could end up becoming the cashy.
All right.
We'll see. So Patty Pimblett defeats Luigi Vendramini via knockout. Due to punches, 4 minutes and 25 seconds into the very first round. Patty Pimblett now 17-3 overall, 1-0 in the UFC. Luigi Vendramini falls to 9-3. He is 1-3 in the UFC. I also forgot to mention Molly McCann versus Ji-Yeon Kim earned Fight of the Night honors.
Oh, nice.
And then Patty Pimblett got the Performance of the Night here. So, couple back-to-back money winners there.
Scouses.
Couple of scouses going home with some cash.
What did he say? Fuck. What did he say about like Jake Paul or something? Megan Alevi posted.
No, he called him a sausage.
No, it was something else. He called him a lizard.
No, he called Instagram lizards.
Oh, yeah. I got to find the clip.
He's like, Instagram, give me my page back, you lizards.
Oh my god, that shit had me dying. I gotta find this.
Bro, you called Jake Paul a sausage.
Yeah, he's a sausage. What a thing to say.
Who would the man like to challenge then next?
Anyone who wants it. I'm not really calling anyone out. The only thing I want to call out is the company, Instagram. Give me my account back, you lizards.
What a thing to say.
That's like my favorite thing, is just calling people random shit. Mosquitoes, clown cakes,
fucking worms,
donuts, worms.
You lizards.
You lizards.
He's a sausage.
Patty, with the quotes, bro.
Yo, Patty is becoming a little star. And he looks like, who is it? Owen Hart, Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
All right. Moving on to the light heavyweight division, our second and final disagreement of the night.
Yeah, it was Modestus Bukakis, Bukkake Sauce, taking on Khalil Roundtree Jr. I don't know, man. Modestus coming off a couple losses here. Khalil, a little bit on and off lately in his career. I thought Modestus was maybe going to take off in this one and pressure Khalil. It was the other way around.
Yeah.
Khalil had Modestus on the back foot the entire time. And Modestus just didn't know how to get in. Khalil was pretty much doing whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it. Like, it is what it felt like. And a little bit of controversy, I guess, because he landed that side
oblique kick.
And Modestus instantly fell down, grabbed his knee, and the fight was over. Okay. So how do you feel about everyone saying, ban that strike? I think that's silly.
I think it's silly as well.
How many? Okay, so
I understand the argument, like, oh 12-6 elbows.
Oh, it could end careers. It could fuck up someone's knee for a year. Okay, how many people's knees have gotten fucked up by this?
Right.
The only one I can remember is Darren Till and Stephen Thompson. And then John Jones throws it a lot, but it's never done anything, to my knowledge, to any of his opponents. So, sure. Like, what is the actual point of banning this if it's not actually hurting people?
Right.
It's not causing that much damage. It's kind of just a thing to, like, hey, get away from me. It's like a teep kick.
The way Roundtree used it, though, was...
Yeah, that was brutal. But it's not something I would consider, like, ban-worthy, I guess.
No, I don't think it's, like, a rampant problem or anything. And
like I said, not that many people use it.
I don't think it's,
like,
a dirty thing.
No, not that many people use it, and not that many people have gotten hurt by it. And even Modestus came out on Instagram and said, hey... y'all need to quit hating on Khalil. Like, he did what he had to do. I have no problem with the way he threw that strike.
Yeah, so it was perfect. I mean, Bukkake Sauce had this very side stance.
Yeah, he threw a jab. He caught him coming in with the jab, and Khalil was just like, pink, got him. Like,
it was just a beautiful, well-timed strike. I don't know.
That's Muay Thai, brother.
Right. So, yeah, I don't got a problem with the shit.
Nah. But Khalil, man, looking good. He needed that win.
He's back.
He needed that win.
All right, so Khalil Roundtree defeats Modestus Bukkakis via TKO due to a leg kick 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the second round. Which, okay, so me and Slim also learned something on this. I had this fight going over 2.5 rounds. It ended at exactly
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
So I needed it to go over a round and a half. It ended at precisely a round and a half, and they gave it to me.
Yeah, that's
so
good. That's good.
I think just as long as it hits it, you win.
That sounds good. Because I remember the look on your face. You were like,
"Oh,
no!
I wanted to throw up."
You're like, "No!"
And I thought it was for sure 231 because like he was on the ground by like 232, but it just took like 2 seconds for the ref to get there, and oh.
That's brutal. Betting, bro, if you would have lost by a second.
Betting, man.
If you would have lost by a second.
Oof, gosh, dude.
You would have went home right then and there.
I went home anyways, but yeah.
Well, you know.
I mean, come on.
He do be cute. Eyeing me down.
So, Khalil Roundtree. Now 9-5 overall. 5-5 in the UFC. He's earned all of his career stoppage victories by knockout. Modestus Bukkakis, now 11-5 overall, 1-3 in the UFC. That's... Jeez.
He won his first one. He's on a three-fight losing streak.
It's wild. Yeah, that 3-fight losing streak is obviously the longest of his career. He hasn't won since he came in July of 2020, and that is 4 of his 5 career losses coming by way of stoppage.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say about Khalil? What's his UFC record?
5-5.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, moving on to this next one. Did we disagree on this one?
Nope.
All right, good. It was Alex Moreno taking on David Zawada. Pretty good showing by Alex Moreno here.
Yeah. Just he's so experienced and just like so calm at all times. Like,
yeah. I mean, coming off like 2 legend fights, like you fought Anthony Pettis and Donald Cerrone.
Right.
Like, David Zawada is nothing compared to those guys. Not to put him down. Whoa, I didn't mean it like that. I meant experience-wise and all that they've been through.
Okay.
Yeah. They've seen some things, David Zawada has.
I've seen some things, man.
Wouldn't recommend it.
Seeing some things like that dude that was heroined out in the middle of my road earlier.
Right. Should have took a flick of that.
My man was nodding out, dog. I should have fucking taken his shoes. What was I thinking?
Just pushing him over. One of my associates was talking about, like, yeah, I was in Akron like last weekend, and I stopped at that Speedway by the Wendy's, and I was like, you stopped at where? And she was like, yeah, and I took this picture. She showed me a picture. It was 3 crackheads huddled around the street sign, just like arm to arm to arm, like just doing a prayer circle for
Northeast Ohio. Shit. It's going down.
Crack. Come on, boys. We're going to get enough money for some crack. Is it even crack or anything? I don't even know.
Shimmy, crackhead puff.
Is it even crack?
I don't know.
I've never been able to figure it out.
I'm not in the opiate underground of Akron.
Crack's not an opiate.
I know, but, you know.
Maybe it's Stefani. Anyway. Alex Moreno won a unanimous dub.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Alex Moreno defeats David Zawada via unanimous decision. 30-27 a la crasse Zibord. Alex Moreno now 20-7 overall, 9-4 in the UFC. He's earned 6 of his 9 UFC victories by way of decision. David Zawada now 17-7 overall, 1-4 in the UFC, and he suffered 3 of his 4 UFC losses by way of decision. All right, let's go ahead and move on to this co-main event of the evening. And
honestly,
can't say we didn't tell you so.
I think this might be the biggest winner of the night. It was Tom Aspinall, and he's taking on Sergey Spivak? Yeah, so Tom Aspinall, he says, man, he doesn't want to climb the UFC ladder too quick, which I respect. He knows he's pretty inexperienced. You know, he knows the challenges that are ahead of him. He wants to take his time and get there slowly and get some fights under his belt, get some crowds, get some anxiety, get some nerves. I like that. But if you're taking out guys that are ranked like Sergey Spivak like that,
and they're not landing one punch on you,
which I think he did. I feel like he did.
I don't know.
I feel like he landed a counter that I remember that I was like, oh, Sergey did that. Okay. But no, Sergey had no chance in this. It was all Tom. The pressure, the quickness of his strikes, and the accuracy. He was 62% accurate on significant strikes. The man is just a powerhouse.
When it comes to being light on your feet at heavyweight, it goes Ciryl Gane, Tom Aspinall.
Yeah, and he does everything right. Like, he doesn't do any technique wrong. So, Tom Aspinall.
He's so well. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, too.
Yeah, Tom Aspinall now jumped to number 11.
Nice.
Now he's in the conversation of, like, Marcin Tybura, Samil Abdurakhimov, Augusto Sakai, Chris Daukaus, number 10.
I'd still like to see Aspinall maybe fight, because he's not in any rush whatsoever.
No, Blagoy Aspinall.
He came out and said, you know, he's not ready for Francis right now or anything like that.
Blagoy Aspinall or Sergey Pavlovich?
I agree with, yeah. Yeah, I'd like either of those.
If he wants
or Walt Harris would be cool, too.
Yeah, if he wants to take it slow, all right, I'm down for it.
Him versus Walt Harris would be a banger.
For sure.
Nonetheless, Tom Aspinall defeats Sergey Spivak via TKO due to an elbow, which was so clean, by the way.
Oh, my God. He instantly cut Sergey, and Sergey just fell down.
Yeah. Elbow and punches, 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the very first round. Tom Aspinall now improves his record to 11-2. He is a clean 4-0 in the UFC. That 4-fight UFC winning streak Just like Jack Shore that we talked about earlier, it's the fourth longest active streak in heavyweight.
Wow.
It's between, or I'm sorry, behind Ciryl Gane 7, Francis Ngannou's 5, and Marcin Tybura's 5.
Damn.
Aspinall's 4-fight UFC stoppage streak is the second longest among active fighters in the entire UFC, only behind Francis Ngannou's 5.
He's at all stoppages?
All stoppages.
Phew.
Aspinall has earned all 11 of his career victories by stoppage.
Wow.
Sergey Spivak, now 13-3 overall, 4-3 in the UFC. He suffered both of his career stoppage losses via knockout. So, Tom Aspinall, man, keep on keeping on, brother.
Nice.
Let's go ahead and move on to this main event of the evening. And, you know, for betting purposes, Darren Till, it'd be nice for you to tell me that you have a torn ACL.
Yeah, very much so. You got Brunson'd.
Big blonde Brunson'd.
Yeah. Derek Brunson absolutely ran over Darren Till here. Darren had a little bit of a couple moments until Derek Brunson just decided, you know, I'm going to take you down. I'm just going to run right through you and take you down. Darren, early on, had decent takedown defense. He stuffed three of them. But then as the fight went on, you could tell, like, that knee was bothering the hell out of him because he was just kind of letting the takedowns happen, and he could not get back up.
Time out, though. In that third round, Darren was rocking Brunson.
True.
Like, Brunson was about to go down. It was looking like he was like, about to get knocked down.
I gotta go. And then Darren was like, I'm taking down.
And then he shot for that takedown, and that was what ended the fight.
Like, Darren didn't, like, he was, like, he was locking his hands, and then, like, not using his legs to get back up or to get to a better position. Brunson was just like, all right, I'm going to get to a better position.
Right.
Like, that's pretty much what it was every time it was on the ground. Yeah, I would have really liked to know that he had a torn ACL a few weeks ago.
Right. That would have kind of changed my betting.
But also, coming off that collarbone surgery, he just had 4 canceled fights due to injury. I get it. He wanted to get this fight in, get a paycheck. But still, come on, man. You're fighting with a torn ACL?
Right.
That could fuck your knee up forever.
Forever.
Like, now you're going to be out for another year. I get it. He's only 28. Mm. He's still got time to correct these things and come back. But, dog, like...
Sickening.
Oh, Brunson, man. The contender killer.
All right. Now we can talk about what we think's next for him.
All right. So, rankings-wise, Brunson, I believe he just jumped to number 4. So, only ahead of him is Kanani, Costa, and Whitaker. Whitaker is supposedly fighting Izzy next year. We don't know that for sure, though. Costa's fighting Marvin Vettori. Jared Cannonier is opponentless, and he just won a couple weeks ago. Maybe that's the fight to make in the meantime. If he gets through Cannonier, he's got to be next.
Right, right.
However, if the Izzy and Whitaker negotiations don't happen, fuck it.
Yeah.
Get him in there.
I agree with that.
Because Jared's only on, what, a 2-fight winning streak?
Yeah.
Brunson's on a 5-1?
Right.
A 5-piece?
I think
Brunson hasn't lost since he lost to Izzy the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I agree with exactly what you said, honestly. So,
yeah, I can't believe that. Yeah, Derek Brunson does it again, man. He's the best wrestler in the middleweight division.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Who's better? Chris Weidman? No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Marvin Vettori? No. If they fought, I think he'd out grapple him.
Kevin Holland?
Kevin Holland with a beard?
With the Dagestani beard?
Yeah.
Alright, so Derek Brunson defeats Darren Till via submission due to a rear naked choke 2 minutes and 13 seconds into the third round. Darren Brunson, now 23-7 overall. His UFC record, I do not have that on me, my bad. I don't have Till's either. Darren Till now 18-4 overall.
Yeah, so where do we go with Till? He's 1-4. Well,
he's obviously going to have a lengthy layoff.
He's what, 1-4 since he moved up to middleweight? Yeah. Or no, 1-4 in his last 5.
Hear me out. Darren Till versus Kevin Holland.
Love it.
Obviously,
it'll be on the feet.
Till's going to be out for at least half a year. Probably more.
Yeah, you know, for sure more.
But
it's 6 months just for the recovery time for the ACL.
Right. So when he comes back, though, Kevin Holland, shit. Who knows where Kevin Holland will be at, but.
Right.
Or, I mean, I could see him against, like, a...
Brad
Twines. I don't know. I think give him a step back. He got way high in this middleweight division very fast.
Yeah.
I think give him a little step back. Let him work his way back up the middleweight division, and then we can see what we do with him. But right now, a 1-4 in your last five, Darren Till, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to call Darren Till washed or, like, think that he's not what we thought he could be or what we thought he was, like, when he beat Cerrone and Steven Thompson. But, like, they moved him too quick in middleweight. They did it in welterweight. They just threw him into a title shot. He lost. They did it at middleweight now.
Right.
They moved him up the rankings too fast. He didn't have a chance to, you know?
Develop, right.
So, I don't know. I definitely don't think he goes back down to welter.
Slim out here spitting truths.
Hey, if they had a 175-pound division, though.
Right.
He'd be king in that.
All right. So, that was your little rundown for UFC on ESPN Plus 49. Brunson versus Till. I went 7-2 on the card. Slim went 5-4. I went 3-1 on the prelims. Slim went 2-2. I went 4-1 on the main card. Slim went 3-2. So we look at the overall rankings here, or overall standings here, Slim. In the prelims, I'm 116-68-1. You're 111-73-1. So I'm up by 5 right there. And then in the main card, I have a record of 86-70-2, trash. Yours is 79-77-2, even more trash. And that's good for, I'm up by 7 right there. So 5 plus 7 equals 12, friend. And then in our side bet for the main events, I'm still up 2 right there, too. So overall, I just cracked the 200 win mark. I am 202-138-3. Slim, you are an even 190, an even 150-3.
Yuck. I got time. We'll come back.
Down a dozy.
Yeah. 6 fights on the contender series next week.
Hyped about that.
That's going to be nice. That heavyweight fight that I mentioned, the Lucas Reski and Dylan Potter, that got moved to this week.
Oh, nice.
So I got added on.
And I've heard a lot of good things about Nasrudinov, so really excited to finally see him. Battle between two 5-0 prospects, Mo Miller and Brandon Lewis, in the co-main event. Little Russia versus Brazil action with Albert Duraev taking on Kyle Bittencourt. Yeah, as Slim mentioned, Lukasz Brzeski, the Polish fighter, taking on Dylan Potter. And then we got Jack Della Maddalena coming in with a record of 9-2 out of New Zealand, taking on Angie Lusa, who is 7-1 out of Switzerland. Australia. Is that Australia?
Yeah.
You don't check it.
It's the same star as it's on Robert Whitaker's chest.
Check it. Check it. Check it. Australia. Where was he born? Australia.
Yep. Perth.
Ya dingus.
Who's I said that, motherfucker. Fucker.
No, I said Australia.
No, you didn't. You said, New Zealand. Australia. What's that flag?
Which one?
This one.
That's Switzerland.
Okay.
So, Angie Lusa. So, a very global card here in the first fight of the night, too. We have Jasmine Jasudovicius, who is 5-1, taking on Julia Pilastri. That's Canada versus Brazil. So, shit, we got... That's 4 countries right there. 5 countries, 6 countries.
7.
No. I already counted Russia.
Okay.
Yeah. Or no, I didn't. Yeah, 7 countries.
That's hard. I love also that they put the slash through the L. Ooh. About to do that with Slim.
Where?
In Lucas.
Oh. What? Is there like a...
No, there's literally nothing. That's it. That's all we got next week. And then Anthony Smith and... Well, there's nothing this weekend, but then Anthony Smith and Ryan Spann.
Yeah, next weekend we got that, and then Yoel Romero versus Phil Davis.
Woo!
Let's go! Yeah, Bellator 266 on the same night as UFC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then we got Neiman Gracie and Mark Leminger in that one. Deanna Bennett fighting. Jeff Neal's undefeated younger brother, Grant Neal. Christian Edwards, undefeated prospect. Yeah, so I guess we're loading up next weekend. We're just going to have to watch some football this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Which I'm okay with. All nice. Right. I don't know. I don't.
A quick one for you.
Yeah, geez. It's
our first sub 2 hour, 3 hour podcast in a long time.
Wild. Feels crazy.
Yeah, what do you want to do after this? You want to like go see a movie or something?
I was going to play Madden. You can watch me play a little bit.
All right, why not? I'll play against you.
I don't got another controller.
Damn it. What's that up there?
It doesn't work very well.
Shit. All right. Sticky buttons. Well, that's like what you tell your little brother, like, nah.
Nah, bro. Dog. Yeah, that one doesn't work. Hey, if I just didn't have it on and I told you it was on, I was letting you sit there.
It's a bot. You're the computer. You're playing the bot. Like, oh, touchdown. Look at me.
Bot Slim.
That's geeky.
All right, you guys. Well, enjoy opening weekend of NFL. Watch some football, man. And, yeah. We will catch you guys next week where we'll talk about the upcoming contender series, which will have happened by then, and then give you guys some previews of the UFC and Bellator cards.
Facts.
Until then, my friends.
Peace.